Blog Talk Radio.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas.
You can turn that off.
It's Christmas is fucking over. Let's get the show on the road.
I don't want to get the show on the road. Well, I guess we better. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and then I'm joined by my rude as hell co-host, Contreras. What's going on, Contreras?
Nothing. I had a good Christmas.
Well, good for you. And we're also joined by our other co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Not much. I also had a good Christmas. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I still haven't received that box of maple bars, Craig. What's the deal?
They're in the mail.
They're in the mail, yeah.
Yeah. Just like your rent check.
So did you have fun being Brian Alvarez's personal assistant or butler or houseboy or cabana boy, whatever we can call you?
I had a ball. It was a lot of fun. Oh goodness, those two. I'm a little disappointed in Barry Alverson, to be honest with you. He tapped out.
Well, Craig, really I thought your job was to be the bartender. I mean, you're right there the whole time. Why didn't you insist? Why didn't you like? You know, you're like a really big dude, and he's like a midget. Why didn't you like physically intimidate him to drink?
He wasn't having it. He literally, there's a good thread on the board about this whole thing, but he literally, probably a half hour in, he was pretty loopy, but then it quickly wore off, and then he didn't hardly drink anything the rest of the whole time. And I think it came off poorly. So, shame on Mr. Alvarez.
What are y'all talking about?
The Christmas show. You probably missed it.
No, I didn't listen to last year's yet.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, so...
It was better than last year's. Last year's was kind of the worst out of all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
So you missed a surprise run-in by Granny. They didn't just call her. She actually showed up and walked in the door. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was pretty funny.
This was, the only thing would have been better if she would have started drinking, too.
Yeah. I did lend my vocal stylings to Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah, but she could barely hear you over Vinny. So, I mean,
well,
let's be honest. Vinny was the star, not you, Craig. Quit trying to hog in his glory.
No. No, I did a very good job, except, I couldn't get Brian that far off the mic, so I just backed him up, but you'll hear a little bit of a growly voice, in the chorus and, echoing what young Vincent is saying. I was there for backup, for crying out loud. I wasn't there to be the star. Much like this show.
So, Katrina, what did you do for Christmas?
My sister and her three kids came in town, so went over to my parents and had Christmas there.
Nice.
Cool. Let me guess, you played video games all day with the kids, pretty much, and that was it.
Yeah, my nephew got an Xbox Kinect, so. But now you not only do you have to play, but you have to, like, exercise.
Yeah, you have to move and stuff.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
I'll tell you. did you like the picture I tweeted you Christmas morning there? Or I sent you Christmas morning, Ed?
I thought you sent that to Clary by mistake, because all of a sudden I started getting, like, texts from Clary, too, and I was like, what the hell is going on here?
My beautiful and amazing wife bought me a MacBook Pro along with...
Sorry to interrupt. Let me interrupt you real quick. But why is it every year you seem to be getting all the nice, cool gifts from your wife, and we never hear about the cool gifts you give her? I think someone's getting the short end of the stick.
Because he doesn't want to brag.
Okay, Ed. I bought her an iPad Mini. I also bought her Viva La Juicy cologne that totaled about $109 for the bottle. I bought her a gift certificate to an amazing steakhouse in town called El Gaucho, or El Gaucho, as I like to call them.
Why don't you have to get her a gift certificate? Why don't you just take her?
Well, see, that's the deal. I get her the gift certificate, and then she automatically has to take me.
Okay.
See? It's like a hint at a date night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll play.
If I was her, I would take it as a hint to invite one of my girlfriends and not my husband instead.
Well, you haven't slept with me, so there you go.
And I hope I still young.
Hey, it could turn into a three-way. You never know.
That's like overboard. Oh my God. Anyway, no, we buy gifts for each other at Christmas and the holidays, and we kind of live, frugally throughout the year. So, I got a MacBook Pro, like I was saying. I got a pair of Sony digital headphones, and I have a great big professional microphone that goes with it to do podcasts.
And this is the podcast you're on.
Well, now that he's got all this equipment and stuff, maybe you can be the one to hook up on the Skype and we can try that out. You can be in charge of the MP3 and all that.
Well, since you haven't taken the ball and run with it, I will I'll get on that. So just give me a couple months and our podcast will be sounding amazing and it'll be Craig in Seattle with.
I like how you think this whole thing's going to sound better with better equipment. That's not the problem.
Explain, please.
Better equipment is not the problem with the show.
There's nothing wrong with the show. This show is awesome.
No, I didn't say it wasn't awesome, but awesome in a strange way.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Anyway. So that's my idea.
Well, if you need any tips, Matt Clary is the biggest Mac nerd I've ever met.
He's already offered help, and I'll probably take him up on it because that's what he does.
Basically, this is the last show of 2012, and surprisingly, the world did not end the other day, and we still have to do shows.
I'm shocked.
But this year has been a wacky year for pro wrestling, just because some of the most absurd stories have happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
What about it?
What about it? Well, it was part of the year. I mean, we did have some deaths, some real sad deaths, but I mean, to me,
the man
this
had
year.
A heart attack on TV this year.
Yeah, somebody almost died on live TV.
Yeah, and it was wacky because when the hell was the first time that someone's ever had a heart attack live on TV other than Fritz Von Erich?
Rick Flair, because Eric Bischoff gave him one because he wouldn't re-sign him, and they sued him when he had a heart attack on Nitro.
Sure.
I thought I was more worried about his hair the other night than his heart attack back then.
Especially
in high definition.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Rick. He looks great.
But and then you had the absurdity that was the month of the dark sunny days, where Sunny was getting arrested and every other day, or once she got arrested three times in one day for beating the shit out of her boyfriend.
I think it was three times in 3 days, but
yeah,
you might be
three
right.
Consecutive days.
Yeah, that's
whatever
a bad week.
She set a record for arrest.
That's
an accomplishment.
You got to try hard to do shit like that. That's not an accident.
That's not an underachiever right there.
It's like one day she woke up and she's like, you know what? I'm going to out fuck up Matt Hardy today.
Yep.
Yeah. And then,
yeah.
You know. So you got all that, and then she does the video before going into rehab, you know, and then doesn't make herself look too good. And I don't know. I guess that Marty Jannetty wannabe looking boyfriend of hers really fucks with her brain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always leave it to professional wrestling to provide the best entertainment, sleazy entertainment. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I can never quit like hearing about wrestling. I could maybe quit watching it, but I'll never quit reading about it. There's just too much good shit.
Yeah, sometimes it's like a car wreck. You can't take your eyes off of it.
Some of the stupidest shit happens in this business.
Oh, yeah.
Like, speaking of stupid shit, in the year 2012, wrestlers are trying to run out the back door and thinking they can get away with it by stealing the money and not wrestling. In the age of the internet, you know what I mean? I mean, how absurd was that, fucking Davey and crew, you know, basically pulling a bank robbery and trying to get out of town?
You just imagine them plotting in the back. Listen, Kyle, see? We're going to take the money and run, see? All right, now get the car, see? And I'll get the bag, see?
I still always amazed by these stories, you know. You know, the guys, well, they show up to the show and they made more money or they're not going to work, or, you know, they get paid but then they leave the show, or you got these promoters that in the middle of the show, the promoter disappears with the money. I said, these people have no shame. I couldn't fathom doing something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what promoter I was working for back in the day, but we were doing a quote unquote charity event up in Canada. And anyway, the boys were to get paid $75 apiece. Like one of the bigger payouts I ever had, to be honest with you. But the boys were to get $75 each, and the promoter was to get a fee of $500, and the rest was to go to the charity. Well, I didn't find this out till later, but the promoter/booker got his $500, and the rest of us got $15 cash, Canadian.
You shouldn't be getting any money on a charity show. You should do it for free. That's why it's called charity.
Right. But a lot of us had driven up from Washington State and Oregon, and we were at least getting trans to get up there. So. Yeah. So
I was reading in my old observers that from when Jerry Von Erich died, and they had a charity show for his two daughters, and and Kevin held the promoter up for $1,000 towards the show that's supposed to benefit his nieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I never heard that story, but that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, wrestling sucks.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, It's not just like the little sleazy promotions that do it. Big promotions have been known to do it, like like in Detroit. The Funks came in when Detroit was kind of down, and they built up to a big match, and they actually drew, and everybody was going to make money. And during the show, the Sheik's son-in-law, I think it was son-in-law comes to the back and says that they robbed the tickets. That's something that's not, you know, that happens a lot in wrestling, or it used to happen, but, like, you know, nowadays with the internet, I mean, basically what the story broke 5 minutes later after they ran out the door.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wacky and wonderful world of wrestling.
Go ahead.
I was just going to let the listeners in on our little conversation, but I came up, our guest needed to rebook with us for this week. We'll have him on again in the very near future. But I proposed this topic, our first annual over-the-top radio year-end awards, and I've picked out just a few categories. I just wanted to be not completely different than Meltzer's Observer Awards, but something we look at on the year and kind of say who we thought was outstanding this year.
Yeah, and for the fans out there, don't worry. I am including some of my own awards because very similar to the rest of the awards. But anyway, yeah. We'll look it up a little bit later. And I'm sure Craig will have no part in the questions that I ask.
Probably not. But maybe.
Yeah. But going back to, like, wacky stories, because, like, I could think of, like, basically three that popped into my head right away. And one is very wacky, but in some ways it's also very, very sad. And that was the whole drawn-out battle between Kamala, Don Marie, and that other,
Dan Marotti.
Dan Marotti, yeah, with, them doing fundraisers for Kamala, and then for whatever happened, you know, there's like everyone has a story, and it always seems like their story changed throughout the week. And but Kamala, you know, wanted his money, and I think it actually worked out for him in the end, because I'm sure after when he finally did get out his PayPal or email, whatever, I'm sure he did get a lot of support from a lot of the fans out there, because it was a real big topic. I mean, for a while, it was like our highest downloaded show that we ever did, the story of Kamala and Davey. And so I'm sure it worked out somewhat. I mean, he still has no legs, and that's still fucking sad. But that was like one of the most crazy things, because it's like, you know, once again, in this day of the internet, you can't fuck around, you know what I mean? I mean, someone can throw out that dirty laundry out real quick. And, you know, Dawn Marie was finally, I guess you weren't hearing that much stuff from her from, like, the couple years before, where she kind of was making news about her thing being a fraud or not. And then, boom, she's back in the spotlight about the same thing, looking bad and whatever. And then that was just one of the craziest stories of the year.
Yeah, it's kind of when they have, like, I don't know, maybe it's just because of the wrestling business, when they're talking, like, you know, like, raising money for some or charitable donations in wrestling, I just kind of stay away from it. I don't want a part of it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, Lila was on with us, a couple months ago, and she was talking about a promoter up here that was putting on quote-unquote charity events for a kid that died, and his motive was never to give him a cent.
And I know that's a deal for everybody. I'm just saying, you know, just like just seems like there's way more bad than good. I mean, like in the wrestling business, doing stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Craig, you brought up that promoter. That's the promoter you brought up, the Casey's.
Yeah.
So have you ever worked with this dude, or what do you know about this?
I haven't worked for him. I've worked with him on shows. He I might as well throw it out there. Coach Mike Jones in the Seattle area. If you watched, I think it's Judge Brown. He was on Judge Brown.
This isn't Virgil, is it?
No.
Okay. Virgil's name is Mike Young, so I just wondered.
He was on Judge Brown with Johnny Fairplay about a month and a half ago. He stood Johnny up for, I think it was $700. So if you saw that episode of that show, that's the cap. That's Coach Mike Jones. Coach Mike Jones was never trained properly. When I was working out with Matt Farmer, Nikki Six, Brian Alvarez, in a storage shed that the ring was set up with, we got in there. We would work out for a couple of hours, a couple times, three times a week. Coach would let us in because another guy owned the ring and let us in. I watched Mike Jones, no lie, for almost 40 minutes practice top rope leg drops. He would climb to the top rope. He put a mattress in the ring. He jumped off the top rope, landed on his backside, and then he did it again. And then he did it again. And then he did it again. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
So safe to say this was no Beautiful Bobby
Eaton. That's safe. Anyway, Coach...
At least he was smart enough to use a mattress because, I mean, imagine
no,
the dumbass doing it to the ring.
He used a mattress at first.
Oh.
You know, because those 4 extra inches that you could mess something up, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, the guy who he bought the ring, he ended up buying the ring from, it was actually the worst ring I've ever worked on in my life. The guy's name was Dave DiBasci. He still wrestles around as, I think, something the Butcher. And he does an Iranian gimmick. Anyway, this ring absolutely sucked. Mike Jones bought it for him. He moved it out to Shelton and started a quote-unquote wrestling school. As far as I know, if you're going to be a teacher, you have to go to some kind of a schooling place to learn how to teach people how to wrestle.
That's usually how I figure it's done.
Right. So Mike never been properly trained, so he gets these guys out there and, you know, he gets them booked on shows. I ain't gonna lie about that. He gets them booked on shows, but God bless Mike, but he's untrained. He does things very shadily. He does. He always runs at bars, or he runs on the reservation. So he never has the commission involved. He never has to do all the things the commission wants you to do, like have a doctor on the scene, have an ambulance on the scene, all of that. And so when he runs at the bars, he's promoted MMA shows that are dangerous as can be. I mean, I was at one of his shows, actually, when I was seconding a friend of mine. He was on that show, and they literally asked a guy if he wanted to fight at 135, and they literally pulled him out of the audience, had him sign a waiver, and he was in his jeans in the ring in less than 20 minutes.
So basically, his man's no good.
Yeah. Super nice guy. And...
So he sounds like a car nutter, so of course he's a super nice guy.
He's a super nice guy, but he is a carny through and through, and he'll probably do anything to make a buck. And that's where Lila was trained. Just saying.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that.
Cool. But why don't we get to some of your... All right, what?
I was just going to cap it off by saying, and there are hundreds and thousands of those guys all over the place. So, yeah.
Hey.
So, getting back on topic, I have compiled a list of about 10 year-end awards. And like I said, some of these are going to be completely the same as we talked about just a few weeks ago on Dave's top 10 list, basically.
Yeah,
but of course,
been, so I'll have them fresher in my mind on this. Thank you much.
Yeah, there you go. So obviously, the first one, Wrestler of the Year.
You want me to start?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go with CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the champion all year. He's been in a bunch of great matches and, I mean, promos, awesome, you know, everything.
He also has, like, some low-rated quarters and...
I don't care what's rated. I don't care about ratings.
I know.
I choose not to discuss ratings because I don't want to be miserable.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I will also, my Wrestler of the Year, obviously, well, not obviously, but actually is CM Punk. I totally agree with Contreras. He's been great on the mic. He's been great in all of his matches. I don't think the man's had a real bad match all year. Him and Paul Heyman are like the best thing on Raw each and every week.
Yeah, if they weren't on Raw, I don't know that. I'd probably go through it quicker on my TV.
Yeah. And I think without CM Punk right now, it'd be really boring.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the Rumble, see him and Rock. I'm really looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go a different way because I do see how he loses viewers and he doesn't make money on pay-per-view and so on and so on. And I'm going to go with somebody who does increase viewership and does make money on pay-per-view and does have good interviews, even though he didn't have a whole lot of them this year, but I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar.
Hmm. You know, I thought you were going to say Ryback and I was going to come through the phone.
See, I'm not as predictable.
But Brock hadn't done too much this year, though.
But everything Brock Lesnar did was, he had the two big buy rates. He's had the big thing after WrestleMania, and some of his appearances did draw viewers. And, it might be for shorter than Punk, but to me, he's been more successful than Punk, even though it was less air, FaceTime. But to me, everything he did, probably one of my favorite angles of the whole year is when he kidnapped Sean and pulled him out of the car. And, so I'm going with Brock Lesnar. And
that's
plus, he beat busted John Cena open hard way in a match.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute.
I just remember all the outrage when he lost the first match. Everybody literally is
nuts.
The internet community flips their lids like every freaking other week, it seems like, about something stupid.
Okay.
That match was so awesome, I didn't give a shit who won or lost.
Here was a scene in my living room. Brock Lesnar gets pinned by John Cena. Vince looks at me. I look at Vince, and then we both looked at Brian. Brian looks at both of us, and he goes, "What are you looking at me for?"
I just remember when I was getting ready to listen to the post-Extreme Rules show that Dave and Brian did. I was just reading the – sometimes you can read the descriptions and kind of get an idea of how they're feeling. It said, include the most goddamn stupid finish in the history of the
That's fair.
I say, okay, I know what this is going to be like.
The next one I put up was Best Tag Team of the Year, and I'll start this one. It's got to be Kazarian and Daniels.
Yeah, that's it.
Just week in and week out, they are the most entertaining thing on Impact. And if you don't believe me, watch last night's Impact.
It sucks that they don't have the titles now. I mean, I can't get into anything Chavo does.
Or I know, it's
like very low quarters with titles.
He's so good in the ring. He's so good in the ring. I want to get behind him. He's there for everything. He's spot on.
Yeah, I mean, he does
technically good. Yeah. But I hear you.
It's Hornswoggle's bitch.
That and he also got beat up by 90-year-old Bob Barker, you know.
True.
Well, I would wear that like a badge of courage. I got beat up by Bob Barker.
The price is wrong, Bob. Ed, your thoughts?
Well, since I hardly watch TNA, I'm going to have to go with Team Hell No because I did enjoy all the anger management skits. I love the one where they're at the restaurant and Kane's being a waiter. And Bryan Danielson being so happy holding a puppy would just blew my mind.
Kane was hungry. He said, thanks, I'm starving.
You know, so I'm going to go with, you know, and I'm sure if I watch TNA more regularly, I probably would agree with both you guys, but I'll go with what I know more, and that'll be that team. Yeah. I don't know.
Barry and Lane Tag is on top this year.
Yeah. They've been so good, man. I've lumped in all the females together. I want to go best female or female of the year, and I put wrestler or personality. So, female of the year.
That's tough. I'm not into the female stuff. Not that I don't like them. It's just I'm not into what they do.
So you're not gonna pick anybody.
I think AJ's done some good stuff this year.
Yeah. As far as the year goes, I had to pick her because she was all over the place. She's still all over the place.
Brooke Hogan for being so entertainingly bad.
That doesn't count.
Now she's Billy Ray throwing a hump into her.
Gosh. Yeah, AJ's been really good this year. Yeah, like I said, just every major storyline.
So Miss Tessmacher improved a lot this year.
Yeah, she's a talented girl. I'll leave it at that.
Next year might be Tara if she and Jesse stay together because I like that duo.
I love that act.
He's awesome.
Hey Ed, what were your thoughts on that one?
Well, this is like a vote where I wish I could have like 100 votes.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Or actually like 200 votes because, you know, it would be like 200 kids if there were 100 kids. But.
Sure. I'll alert Dave Prazak.
AJ, you know, AJ's had her moments and she's also had her not moments. And Vicky's always good. And
yes.
Before they left, you know, the Bella Twins, I'll never forget that one week where they wore the camel toe outfits. That was spectacular.
They meant to say camouflage, I'm sure.
Yeah, Kelly, you know, it's always good for a mention. You know,
sure.
This test monster, she was badass Velvet. Velvet
right.
And her pigeons or whatever the fuck Taz likes to talk about.
Right.
But I'll go with the set of breasts that I've actually felt. And so I'll have to go with Trina Michaels on that one.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
I gotta say in favor, my good friend Trina Michaels.
Sure. Last week, Prazak tweeted out, "Letting the pigeons loose greater than slapping the porpoise." Slapping the porpoise was a guy from ROH TV. That was his catchphrase: "Slap the porpoise."
Hodgewood or something.
Yeah, Hodgewood. Yeah.
Yeah. But because it was Hodgewood and the way his accent and the way he sounded, that was awesome. So I got to go with the porpoise.
Well, I said, can't you combine the two and slap the pigeons? Never mind.
That wasn't very fun.
Oh, my God. Anyway, this next one, I don't know if Couture will have an opinion, but best unsigned indie wrestler of the year.
What do you mean by unsigned? Because technically ROH and Dragon's Gate guys are actually signed.
Sure. Okay.
I think you mean Big Show, like WWE.
I mean, are you talking about like really low level or can you include ROH and Dragon's Gate?
Of course I'm talking about ROH, Dragon Gate, all of those.
don't know.
I
don't watch much independent wrestling, so I don't get to see a lot of people.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I guess I'd have to go with my buddy Roderick Strong.
And why is that?
Because he's good enough to be on the main roster. He's just, you know, I'm not the tallest dude. But to me, I think he's right now, he's the best in ROH. And he's always had good matches. So I think he's probably the most talented, undersigned guy there is. It's just that he's been there so long, kind of worked against him because, you know, like he's been there so long. But to me, I think he's the best one out there.
For this year, I had to give it to Michael Elgin. He had one of the matches of the year. He really came into his own this year. He's worked his butt off. He's a great guy, a great big guy, and he just works really hard for a man his size. And
how is he a big guy when he's like 5'4"?
He's a big, thick guy. He's not 5'4". He's probably 5'9".
He is pretty short.
He is a short guy, but, you know, when he's in there with the other guys from ROH, he's pretty thick. I was going to say either him or Sami Callihan. Sami Callihan's had a heck of a year, too. I can't lie. So, anyway.
Yeah, Sami Callihan's like the one main one I've heard, like, stuff about the past year.
Well,
yeah.
The first half of the year I heard a lot about him, but I haven't heard shit about him the last few months.
There was a lot of build to him and Sabu for WrestleMania weekend, and then I actually saw the match, and it was fine. But
and he just had a trial match, didn't he? He just had
a
trial
match. I think he did. I think he had a trial match.
Like in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see him in developmental, but they already have a John Moxley, so I don't know what they would do with him. Because that was kind of Moxley's. I don't want to say it was his character, but pretty darn close.
Is that Dean Ambrose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pay per view of the year.
I still go with Extreme Rules with Brock Lesnar and John Cena and Jericho and I think it was Jericho and Punk in a street fight. It was John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And they also had a 2 out of 3 falls match with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus that was pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Craig?
I will say WrestleMania. It was just it wasn't the best WrestleMania ever by any stretch of the imagination, but again, I was in the building. Rock and Cena was good match. But to be there live in the crowd was pretty amazing. The Hell in the Cell match, after watching it back with commentary, one of the best matches of the year, easy. Of course, didn't have the 18 seconds screw job, but we won't get into that. And I really thought, you know, leaving the building, my favorite match was Punk and Jericho. But watching it back, I had to, you know, of course, give it up to Hell in the Cell.
The Leonard Nimitz match was better than that one. What are you talking about?
Anyway.
It was.
Ed?
Well, this is basically a question that I can only have one answer, and I can only have the same answer every year, because what's going to be better than the show you're actually at? And the thing is, when it comes to WrestleMania, I can't just consider WrestleMania. I have to lump everything together for that whole weekend. So, to me, there's nothing I can pick other than WrestleMania, just for the, you know, because it's just such an incredible experience being there and doing everything over the weekend and hanging out with everybody. So, I mean,
yeah.
And it was a good show. I mean, you know, it was a spectacle with Brock and Cena. It was, there were some good matches. You know, I mean, it's weird because if anyone should have been pissed off at the end of that 18 seconds, it should have been me. But to me, I actually just laughed my ass off because it was just like Vince McMahon just trolled everybody. You know, he trolled all the internet wrestling fans in like the most massive and greatest way ever, and just all I could do was laugh about that. But as far as you know, Undertaker, Triple H, that was good. You know, I mean, it was you know, it's I can't think of anything other than WrestleMania.
I think after Extreme Rules, I put WrestleMania right behind it, and then in third place, I'd put the TLC pay-per-view.
Agreed. I mean, the only one I would switch up is Extreme Rules behind Mania, but yeah, that was a great pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Really great pay-per-view. next one I got is the best on promos for 2012.
I'm going to go with CM Punk.
I knew you were going to do that because I thought the exact same thing. CM Punk has been amazing on the mic. Yeah, just I when he talks, I actually believe, you know, I can actually believe what he's saying. Everybody else, it's like, okay, he's cutting a worked scripted promo. But with Punk, I can actually kind of believe that, you know, he's actually speaking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right behind him, I'd probably Paul Heyman. I think he's been pretty damn good since he's come back.
I was going to put somebody behind him, but I'll wait to see what Ed has to say first.
Well, Punk has had some. That's one thing I can't knock Punk about is his promos, because he does have some awesome promos. I mean, he just come up with some awesome lines, like the fucking, how is that, how am I lying? You know, that's an opinion, not, you know, whatever he said.
Mm.
I really like Damian Sandow, but I don't think he's done enough to, like, warrant being the promo of the year. But Sandow is pretty awesome. Christopher Daniels is freaking awesome. So I think I'm probably going to have to go with and he gets a lot of crap lines, but fucking Cena's pretty awesome. I mean, he did an awesome promo that won leading up to that match with Punk, and that was pretty awesome. But I guess it's because he's constantly every week he's good. Is I got to go with Punk.
Yeah, right behind Punk in my lineup. I know he was only there for about 3 months, but The Rock. I mean, the guy's incredible. I mean, just the stuff
hey guys,
he comes up. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we do have a caller online, and judging by the area code, it's one of, well, he just hung up. So. I was going to say, it could be one of three people because the area code was 619, so we could have been traced by Rey Mysterio, but maybe his issues, family issues that popped up and that caused him to hang up the phone. Or
maybe
been,
Alex is trolling you.
Maybe
well,
he jumped up the
say,
curb and he dropped his
been,
phone.
It could have been Kid Zombie and thank God that he hung up. And, or it could have been Alex off and he just got scared and choked and, you know, he's just...
Or maybe he's trolling you. As I was saying, The Rock was only there for a short time, but his promos, I had to giggle when they were showing him, you know, throwing all the Cena merchandise in the bay, and he's calling it hot garbage. That's funny stuff, man.
When he pulled out the gnome, that was fucking hilarious.
He said, what dimension in hell was this come from?
The hell is that?
Sorry about that.
That's your new equipment?
No,
that's
my home phone. One of these days I'm going to remember to hang it up.
Okay, well, here's the caller, so let's see who's calling here. Calling from area 619. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? What are your New Year's plans?
Why are you hanging up when I'm trying to introduce you?
because I didn't want to be on initially, and then I decided, well, okay, I was just spying on you. I didn't know you could see me call if I didn't push one.
This is a professional setting, dude. It's just I have eyes everywhere.
I was just spying on your show, seeing what you're doing, you know, since you're the highest rated professional wrestling podcast in the history of the internet. And I run my podcast is at least number 15. I was just trying to see what number one is doing.
Sure. We'll call Brian and ask him what he's doing. What are we doing for New Year's? I'm going to have some a low-key friends and family over for New Year's and watch them blow up a Space Needle, as they do every year.
Is this Craig?
This is Craig. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, Craig? You sound incredibly tired, and man, how crappy is it that you have to put up with the drunks? I know you did it this year. How terrible was that?
I had a great time. Because,
he didn't do a good job because his job was to get Brian Oliver's drunk, and he let Brian slide.
Hey, you can lead a horse to water. You fill in the rest. I met Vinny's brother-in-law, Paul, or future brother-in-law, Paul. He's an amazing man. He is a riot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he came off well on the air, but we went and grabbed some chow after that. And he's got like the old school Ed mullet kind of, but not as long. And he was telling me to, you know, find some docking on the radio, and oh my gosh, he was awesome.
He was doing okay on the show, but yes, he jumped the shark.
It was awesome. We were in the pizza joint. I'm pretty sure everybody could hear his conversation. He was talking so loud because he was so hammered, and just as loud and obnoxiously as possible. And it was awesome. Anyway, Vinny's getting a good. I got invited to barbecues and birthdays and 4th of July parties.
Oh, wow, that's nice to have a welcoming family.
Anyway, he's a pretty cool guy.
That's cool. That's super cool. Yeah, I mean, it's just so early, like 5 minutes in, you can already tell that their voices are getting distorted from all the drinking. It's like, oh, my goodness, I couldn't imagine being in a room with those guys. And then Brian's grandmother comes in. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But I have to ask you a question, Alex.
Yes.
Actually,
you should be asking me questions,
because
I'm calling in.
You're in Las Vegas, and you're calling into the show. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, I'm actually at the Reno airport flying into Las Vegas. And like I said, I told you why I called in. I was spying on you. Yeah, I'm not in Vegas yet. Yes, I'm heading down for UFC 155, Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos, the big heavyweight battle, and I will be there live in attendance. Very excited for that. Ed, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
Well, after New Year's, I have to work a couple hours later doing the paper out, so it's not like I can get hammered or anything.
So,
I'm just going to be a low-key hanging out New Year's, probably smoke a little weed, and...
There you go.
Probably about it. Nothing crazy is going on as far as I know here. Well, not for me here in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy watching the different New Year's parties on TV, but they're usually the performers are usually acts I've never heard of. So that's fun trying to figure out why so-and-so is performing at such a party. So that's usually what I do for New Year's.
That's what when I figured I was getting older. Okay, who's that, and what is this dribble?
I think drinking prevents that, because I drank for years. I was in the Marines, of course, that's what we do. And
sure.
I quit drinking when I met my wife, which is my girlfriend, because I was like, man, I'm going to get really drunk and mess this whole thing up, so I'm going to stop. So I've quit drinking for about 4 years. And the moment I quit drinking, I realized that I'm a 37-year-old in a 25-year-old's body. And I've been aging 5 years at a time. So I'm about 49, 40, 50, and I'm only 28, but that's the way it is.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. It sneaks up on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't it supposed to be the opposite thing with black people?
No, we don't look our age. That's absolutely correct. The saying is black doesn't crack. We don't look our age. Like, though, I can be 60, but I'll still look like I'm 30, which is an awesome trait. Rodney has it. I have it. It's a good trait to have.
I must have a little black in me then, because I look very good.
Yeah, it's trippy because your daughter, your daughter is done with college now?
Yes, she's done. Yes, she
and you
home.
Don't look like you would have a daughter the age that should have been out of college yet. So your age is an enigma.
Yes.
Well, it actually makes sense if you know the story.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know the story. I've never asked. Hey, Craig. Hey, tell me about your daughter.
Well, she's actually adopted, and my wife is actually 2 years older than I am. Well, I shouldn't say that. She'll kill me. She's a year and 4 months older than I am. So, she's adopted, and she had her very young, and I adopted her when she was 12. So that's the story.
Well, there you go.
How old were you crazy when you adopted? Because weren't you still pretty young?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got married 1 month after I turned 21, and that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. Just being honest, and my wife will say the same thing. It was absolutely stupid for us to get married that young. And then, well, next year is actually our 20th anniversary. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah. And anyway, that's that's why. I mean, so people tend to say I look way too young, and that's actually the case. So there you go.
All right, so I have a question for both of you. Would you look any differently at Punk's year if he didn't have Paul Heyman? Like, how much of a positive has Paul Heyman been on CM Punk's year? Because I think it's great. Because honestly, before WrestleMania and even afterwards, during the Chris Jericho feud, I wasn't really into the Punk character. And honestly, I'm not really as into Punk as I think most people on the internet are. But I definitely think the Paul Heyman influence and the Paul Heyman presence has increased Punk's entertainment value 1,000,000%. So I want to know you guys' thoughts.
That is a very good observation, to be honest with you. The run that he had with Jericho, while still good, if he had Heyman with him, it would have been that much better. So, I can't argue with you. I don't know where Punk would be without Heyman right now, because Heyman really brings it out in him.
He's in the same spot, because yes, Heyman brings it out on him, but still, week to week, he's still every week he cuts good promos, so he's the most, he's still going to be the best one. It's just Heyman does add more to him, but, he'd still be the top on a weekly basis without him.
Okay, with
he means a lot more with Heyman. All Heyman has to do is just stand there and then caress that title belt in his arms like he does every week and hold it up and just
right, I think he does a lot of subtle things that old-school wrestling fans can appreciate. I mean, old-school wrestling, a lot of it was one guy doing a lot and one guy not doing so much. And Heyman, every moment he's on television, he does something to make you notice him. And I think he increases every segment he's on to where a lot of guys, I mean, they go out there, they do their script, and, the journalists write, good job reading the script this week or whatever. But Heyman, he's playing checkers. He's playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers, if you know what I mean.
Well, like the one skit with him and Vicky where they just stared at each other. I mean, that was awesome. and they didn't say a word. All they did was look at each other.
They took too long to fall asleep.
With that said, you know that Heyman is giving Punk pointers before they go through the curtain. So I think that influence on him, I mean, even in the back, I think that influence on Punk has brought him to where he is right now. I think if they keep the title on Punk through most of next year, I mean, I really hope he beats The Rock at Rumble. I hope he keeps that thing forever. If he keeps that title for any longer and continues to be the the heel that he is, he'll go down as one of the best.
You know what's interesting is that
Todd, Bruno's record.
Is Todd Martin actually said this on a show with Brian, and I agree with it 100%, is that, you know, Brian was making the point that, you know, Punk doesn't carry the segments that he's in rating-wise. But, I mean, you look at it historically, I mean, until the top guy leaves the promotion, then the top guy is always going to be viewed as the top guy. So, I mean, really for Punk to kind of take the reign, you almost need Cena to leave. But there's nowhere for Cena to go, you know? So it's kind of – they're a victim of his success.
If Cena did leave, CM Punk would just be the Kevin Nash of this generation.
I don't think that's fair.
I think it is. He's getting more than he's actually earned. He's snowballed people into believing he's something he's not. I mean, I'm not saying he's not awesome on interviews and a good, you know, entertainer, but it's not like he's not a drawing champion. His reign has been a failure if you really look at it from a
I have been entertained, so it has not been a failure.
Agreed.
You know, I'm almost sitting next to Ed on this. I believe it's not because of Punk necessarily. It's because he's not been given the opportunity necessary. Because Cena's right there, and maybe Punk, if given more opportunity, could grow into a new role where he is carrying the company. But you can't carry the company if it's being carried by Cena.
You can't take Cena out of the company because the company would really start to suffer without Cena, dude. You can dream all you want about how something might work without Cena, someone stepping up, but it ain't happening. Without Cena, they're dead in the water. But I have another.
You could have made the same argument in 93. You could have made the same argument in 93, though, about Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan. I mean, Hogan had carried the company for so long, and Hart had less proof of drawing power than Punk has right now. I mean, what did Hart ever draw?
Probably more than Punk, but anyway, I have another question for you, Alex. Why are you only acknowledging me and Craig, and you haven't said a word to Contreras?
You know what? I didn't even know Chris was on the call until this recent exchange. How's it going, Chris?
Fine. I'm on the show every week.
you were silent back there. I could hear Craig, and you know, I could always hear Ed. You know, this is an excellent podcast because you have it. Chris and Craig, and then Ed's just there. I've said that publicly before. I think I said that like 2 weeks ago. I said, you know, this part, because Ed was making fun of me and my choice of talent, because I brought a Bruno Mars CD, and I said, of course Ed knows good talent. He surrounds himself with Chris and Craig, you know, because he's crap.
Whatever.
Anyway,
Bruno Mars,
well, I'm about to board this flight to Vegas, so if you want to check out my Vegas update, follow me at AlexGoff84, and I host Online World of Wrestling's podcast every week, so you can check me out over there. And everyone have a happy new year, and Ed, 2013, man, what's it going to bring you?
Okay.
Hopefully a lot less time hanging out with jerks like Rodney and yourself.
Have a good one, guys.
See you, man. Take care.
Of course, you know, right after I say that, I'm thinking I'm probably going to end up meeting Shint in WrestleMania. So, I mean, like one jerk doesn't go to WrestleMania and another jerk does. So it's like, you can't get away from them.
You hate everybody, don't you?
No, I don't hate everybody. I don't hate Tingu, bro. She was awesome. I don't hate Whitney. I like Whitney.
They're women. You obviously have a problem with men.
That's probably true.
That's another story for another time. Anyway, getting back on our list, I've just got two more questions in our end of the year awards. Best match.
I'm going to go with Lesnar and Cena.
Sure, we are on the same page tonight. I'm going with Lesnar and Cena too. It was just so different.
It was
that's
like
the only time we saw
not like any match we've seen in like years, seems like.
Yeah.
WWE.
Yeah.
I can't
remember another WWE match.
So
you're going to have to repeat that.
I said you really got creative with a couple of these questions.
I just went for the specifics, and then like, shut it. You didn't do it. I did.
You had potential. You had potential to come up with some wacky stuff, but you went with the basics.
Yeah, I went with the basics. You came up with the wacky stuff.
I'll go ahead and answer the question and agree with the both of y'all that the John Cena Brock Lesnar match was just something to behold, because for a minute there we were. I can't say it was a legitimate fight, but legitimate shit was being done.
You could suspend your disbelief.
And I can't believe John Cena actually agreed to let Brock Lesnar hit him in the head with his elbow until he busted him up like that. It's like,
oh, John Cena, some bitch is tough. I don't think he had a problem with it.
It was a bitch, but I mean, I know one thing. I don't know how much they'd have to pay me, like $10 million to let Brock Lesnar hit me in the head like that with his elbow.
I would do it for $5.
I would do it for $1.
I'd probably do it for $20, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was...
I know you're still making fun of my questions, but I'm going to start wrap it up right
well,
now.
Well, real quick, I was going to say, you know, I like after that, I put Triple H and Undertaker, and I think after that, I'd probably put that 6-man at TLC in there.
That was good. That was awful good.
Yeah.
Well... For me, the number two is the Tanahashi and Minoru Suzuki match, because that was some awesome shit.
I would put number two, I'd put Richards and Elgin from Showdown of the Sun, night two.
That would be like number three, I guess.
Okay, last question. In your opinion, who do we look out for in 2013? Who's the guy that's going to break out next year?
Well, it's got to be a guy. Why can't it be a girl?
It can be any one of them. You know that. We're being stupid.
You can't help it.
Well, who,
just from
who
what
I've
seen, I think Dean Ambrose.
Thank God.
Comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, Dean Ambrose has shown so much. And
actually, really, all three of those guys. They've shown a lot.
Yeah. I don't know how they get him away from the Shield, but I think if you get that guy away from the Shield, I don't want them to right now. Don't get me wrong. But
eventually they're
going
to have to get away from like the whole,
yeah.
You know, the whole get up that they wear and stuff like that. They're going to have to.
Sure.
You know,
I think he's going to be the Shawn Michaels to the other two Marty Jannettys. Just saying.
Okay.
Plus, he's an awesome worker. Edward?
He's all right, but he hasn't shown me enough yet. He's only done, like, two interviews that were good and had a few good facials in one match. I mean, show me a little more. He bored the shit out of me in Arizona with his fucking 40-minute fucking shitty hardcore match with Tommy Dreamer. So, tell me some more before I jump on the bandwagon. To me, he's just one of those people that, for some reason, everyone's jumping on his bandwagon. So
I like.
I think Damian Sandow has a chance. It all depends on how they book him. I mean, he's got the personality and that, but you know, I think he could look for big things for him. I look for big things from Antonio Cesaro. I mean, he's just match after match.
Yeah, throw Cesaro in there too.
If you know, and then put him up with some like higher caliber opponents and have them have some good matches with them, I'm sure he'll get over even more. So, you know, I'm kind of leaning toward Antonio, and
Cody Rhodes. You know, so I should get some main events this year. This coming year.
And
I'll go with Antonio.
My last question, because all my questions suck and are so stupid. my last question was just overall most entertaining wrestler of the year. Doesn't have to be most technical, but somebody that every time he's on the screen, you went out of your way to watch.
I mean, I'd have to say CM Punk.
just with like the promos, and you know all the matches he's been in. I think he's been tremendous.
Well, I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan. I think Daniel Bryan, I've loved everything Daniel Bryan has done this past year, and including when he overshadowed CM Punk in the segment with The Rock. And I'm going with Deep Bry.
I can't do him because it's been, for him this year, it's been more about comedy, it seems like.
It's entertaining. That's the question is entertaining. It's not the Ric Flair Award.
Yeah, people's idea of entertainment are different. So, oddly enough, I have to agree with Ed. Every time Daniel Bryan was on the screen, I could not take my eyes off the screen. He just, everything he does, he makes me laugh. I love to watch him work. I love to watch him mat wrestle. I love the stupid skits that he's in. Even though they're ridiculous and stupid,
he just puts them over the top and makes them good. If any of these kids, stupid kids, he would do with any, if it was anyone else, they just wouldn't work. He makes it work.
I laughed like crazy when he was on the screen with the Muppets and he turned around and there was a goat standing there. I laughed.
When was that?
That was on Tribute to the Troops, I think.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Yeah. There was a goat Muppet standing right there, and he just, you have to see it, it's tremendous. Anyway, yeah.
I didn't even see that, just the thought of that is making me laugh, because I can just see it in my head.
Yeah, like he was in an argument with two Muppets, and he turns around and there's a goat standing there.
He's also had some of the best, not even like, non-TV interviews, but he's had some awesome radio interviews that, he did.
Yeah.
Mainly talking about the Ryback and
the Ryback.
I go with Deep Bry.
And that's it for my year end awards segment. I know Ed had hoped we could find some wacky stories when we talked about those in the beginning. I tried to pull up a list of the wrestlers that we lost this year. I could not find any lists. Can you guys run those down?
Wait, bring down the show. I got two awards though. Let me show those out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Biggest asshole of the year.
Ed Laredo.
Besides me.
Oh.
Mr. Anderson? No. He's not even good enough to win that award.
Let me think.
In
Davey
the
Richards.
Business.
The what?
Davey Richards.
Yeah, he did come off like a big asshole this year for the heist and everything.
Yeah,
I don't know, and I love that that somebody slipped something in his drink and raped him, or whatever happened to him a while back.
Yeah. I don't want to speculate, but I'm afraid that guy is like following in the footsteps of the Dynamite Kid to the T. You know what I mean?
It always works out. Has been a while.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I watched the guy train with Buddy up here years ago. I watched him in his first match with Tim Flowers. I watched him wrestle in junkyards around here. I watched him wrestle in gymnasiums around here. I watched him climb the ranks of ROH and the indie scene in the East. And this year, it hasn't been much. I don't know what's going on, but it would not surprise me if we read some kind of horrible story on the front page of the Observer next week.
Well, what do you know?
I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm just saying.
I thought he was going to become a fireman or something.
Well, that was before he got divorced. Or called the engagement off, I should say. But yeah.
He actually is a fireman, but he just wrestles full time. So he's a fireman. But I think he could be a fireman whenever he wanted to.
Hmm.
Does he know Chip? The Firebreaker.
The what?
They can go chip the Firebreaker from the WCW Special Forces.
Oh, man.
Okay, Ed, biggest a-hole.
Dana White. Is Dana White just the biggest asshole ever?
No personal grudge here.
If it was a personal grudge, it'd still be Dana White. He's an asshole. And the following the first question, the biggest bitch of the year.
Dana.
I don't know. I don't use the bitch terms for the women.
Who said it has to be a woman? I was going to pick Brian Alvarez.
Who?
We think that all the time.
Well, I guess it would be this year. It would be Sunny.
Yeah, that's fair.
For all the trouble, you know, it's like her or Dawn. But I guess you know, Sunny basically set a world record, so I guess it would be Sunny.
Favorite interview this year that we've done, or the favorite show. I really like the Tom Brady show.
That was a good one. Mine would be when Craig died at Akira Hokuto wrestled for Toledo Championship Wrestling. That was pretty awesome.
That wasn't an interview. We could do a whole show on my screw ups. Let's not do that.
As far as the interview, I actually have to look at the list because.
The Pritchard one.
The Bill after? Was Bill this year?
I think that was last year. But like I said, I'm not sure. I make mistakes all the time. No, I liked Pritchard's interview. He stayed with us for a long time and just a wealth of knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to get him back on the show. In can at any time, because that's what he said. Anyway.
The death that bummed me out the most this year was Brad Armstrong.
Yeah, that sucks.
I think, you know, the Brad one sucks, but I guess just because I actually saw more of him up close would be Buddy.
Buddy Roberts? Yeah.
Yeah. And I know Rodney was torn up about, they just mentioned his name the other day on the show. The guy from Webster.
Oh, Alex Karras.
Yeah, Alex Karras.
Yeah, because he wrestled or something, or got in a fight with Dick the Bruiser or something like that back in the day.
Well, he had a famous angle with Dick the Bruiser like that, but he actually did wrestle. He I can't say he was ever like full time, but he did wrestle. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Craig?
Yeah, the Brad Armstrong one sucked. I mean, didn't I just read that Rudy Boy Gonzalez passed away just last week as well?
Did he? I didn't hear that.
Oh, my God. No, Rudy Boy Gonzalez has not passed away. He's alive and well. In fact, earlier today, he was three blocks away because him and Jimmy Jacobs, of all people, were having a clinic at a VFW.
Okay,
right by my house.
Who did you post on your Facebook page?
I shared a picture that Rudy Boy Gonzalez posted of Emilio Charles Jr., which is actually, I'm actually kind of sad about that because those waffles were one of the best things on Lucha Libre of all time. I mean, you had El Waffles, which means like the handsome guys or the handsome dudes, basically. That's not the exact terminology. But you had Emilio Charles, he looked like he was just an ugly, ugly dude. You had, but I can't even say one of the guys' names. He's passed away. He was pretty ugly. And then you had Scorpio Jr., who had like the worst case of back acne of any wrestler ever. He hit the ropes and shit would fly, basically. And They like I say, they were just three ugly guys. A couple of them were kind of chunky. They were like basically beer belly guys on steroids. But the three of those motherfuckers could bump like crazy. I used to love watching those guapos on Lucha Libre.
I thought a guapo was Boss Rootin.
A guapo. These were El Guapos. They were plural.
Oh.
Okay, I see what you did now. All right, my bad.
But there, no, he was awesome. I mean, he looked like just a ugly old Mexican guy, but he was awesome. He was fantastic.
Aren't all old Mexicans ugly?
Kind of.
Pretty much, yeah.
I wish I could.
But no, he was actually ugly, ugly.
Explain, please.
You're uglier than your ugly than your regular ugly man.
I see.
But no, it was not really Mexican Gonzalez that passed away. I should hit him up to be on the show.
Craig, do you know if Matt Clary is going to the 20th anniversary of Raw?
I'm not sure.
Is it in Houston?
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll end up going.
I don't see why you wouldn't. That'd be awesome.
I'm still waiting for him from word that he got tickets to TNA Lockdown.
I just saw that set up in that stadium Lockdown. God damn, they couldn't find another place.
They probably got it cheap as hell, dude. They don't really do that much in the Alamo Dome nowadays.
It's just like you got this big dome, and then you got this one little corner off to the sides for the show in.
You know what really sucks is the parking's on the other side of the dome. So you have to walk all the way around that sucker. And that sucker's pretty big, dude. But, yeah, I mean, they'll actually have a good crowd. It's one side's not going to really have any stands, but, I mean, the way they'll fit, you know, hard camera will be on that side. So it'll do all right. That Pro Wrestling Lucha, they had a decent little crowd there for that, so I'm sure TNA will do way better than that.
It's like when after WWF ran like WrestleMania 3 in the Silver Dome, it's like so many months later I saw Jim Crockett Promotions in the Silver Dome. I said, you gotta be kidding me.
Speaking of like getting seats, thanks to Doc G, I have some awesome seats for the Hall of Fame in Madison Square Garden. And cool. It was actually kind of a scare because, you know, we knew tickets went on sale. For some reason, tickets went on sale at 10:30 Eastern last night. For some reason, I have never heard of them going on sale like that.
Well, they had the show last night at Madison Square Garden.
That makes sense.
Oh, I guess so they were doing the old gimmick of...
Yeah.
Well, anyway, like, so about 10... or 9:34, whatever time it was, my time. I get texts from Dr. G saying I can't get tickets. They're saying there's like none available, and mm-hmm. I was like, shit. Well, maybe we'll have one more chance when they go on sale to the public. And then I go, have you heard any other word? And he's like, maybe it's some kind of a glitch or something. And he's like, oh shit, it's not. Anchor's got tickets. Because Anchor had posted about getting tickets, so. I was already thinking, man, we're just gonna have to hope that they just sold off like certain blocks, and that's the whole thing. So
sure.
We'll have a second chance. But then he texted me saying, okay, I got tickets. I was able to get tickets, and they were the upper deck, which weren't too bad. And but he's scared of heights, so he decided to keep on trying, and he ended up getting lower deck tickets. I think it's $15 more, but I mean, there's a big difference in.
Yep.
It's basically our seats that both sets of seats he bought are basically in a straight line from each other from the second balcony to like the balcony, and it's on the mm-hmm. side, right next to where the stage is going to be. So I mean, they're going to be awesome, awesome seats.
Speaking of WrestleMania in 2014, I've already called the couch at Rodney, so just so everybody knows.
Yeah,
when we go somewhere.
I brought that up to Rodney, and he's like, okay. He's like, well, first off, no way in hell I would let you stay in my house, and second off, I'm staying at a hotel in New Orleans.
That's fair. Man, that's going to be crazy.
It's going to be
French
Quarter. Some good eating, too. I can't wait for that.
I wonder if the French Quarter smells in French Quarter.
Yeah, it's going to be...
I went down there one time.
Wait, what did you say?
But I went down to French Quarter one time when I went to New Orleans. That place, that's fucking nasty.
Hmm.
I like this.
All I know is all weekend long I'm going to be eating gumbo and fried oysters.
I got invited to, some of my friends went to Mardi Gras one year and they asked me to go. I said, I ain't going there. You know how many fucking people is at that thing? And they're all crazy and they're all drinking.
Yeah.
Jesus. I watched those special episodes of Cops when they're fucking Mardi Gras. I know what goes on. Anyway, I'm going to go to Mardi Gras in New Orleans if I got me a room on one of those balconies overlooking everybody. And I can sit up there all night and drink. And throw beads.
Yeah, that would be the safest thing.
I know Craig had the best movie you saw this year.
Best movie I saw this year. Let me think. See, I saw three really good movies, and it's kind of hard to narrow it down. So Dark Knight, that was a great movie. Saw Avengers, that was a great movie. Last Friday, saw The Hobbit, that was a great movie. So I'm going to have to go with The Avengers. That movie was amazing.
Ed?
When did X-Men First Class come out? Was that last year or this year? I really haven't seen that many movies this year. Thought the Dark Knight was overrated.
You're right.
Ted was actually pretty funny. Does it have to be a new movie?
Yeah, it came out this year.
Or it can be a movie from 1975 you didn't see until 2012.
Well, if that's the case, I gotta go with Battleship Yamamoto.
Who?
Which in America would be known as the Argo, the ship of the Starblazers. I watched the Japanese version of the Starblazers movie, and that was fucking incredible.
Okay, what was the best movie you saw this year? Sure.
I really thought Dark Knight Rises was one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
Voice Hunger Games the other night. I thought that was an awesome movie. Have you seen that?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I like the Avengers. Green Lantern was pretty good also.
Mm-hmm.
Green Lantern had potential. I just don't think it. I don't know. It had good parts, and then some parts it wasn't that great.
Did Warrior come out this year or last year?
That was last year. Maybe even the year before.
I just saw it this year, so.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the best.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Good movie. Yeah. Okay. Well, I might be going out of limit.
I just watched The Departed this year. How do I miss that awesome fucking film? Jesus.
That's a great question. Okay, I got one. I might be stepping in it right now, but what was the best album to come out this year?
I have a computer. I have no use for albums.
Do they even make albums nowadays?
They sure do.
I don't know. I didn't go to a music store, and Christ knows how long.
What was the best CD to come out this year? Best
the ones I made? I'm not into music like you are, so I can't say.
Today's music sucks, so I can't even think of anything.
Okay, here's the correct answer. Slash put out a solo album with Miles Kennedy. Miles Kennedy sings for Alter Bridge. They did Edge's music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Kennedy from Spokane, Washington. They put out an album. It's called Apocalyptic Love. And this album rocks. So go check it out. It's in Best Buy right now. It comes out. It's there's a box set out right now. It came. The box set comes with the Apocalyptic Love CD. It also has an acoustic CD where they actually do a couple like GNR tunes, and it's got a live DVD from last year. So that is the correct answer.
Okay.
You say it, though.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Check it out. It's good. It's just heavy. It's good. Ed, you would love it. It reminds me of the really good stuff in the late 80s.
Well, I'm sure I would, but I've never even heard of it, so.
Okay. There you go. Apocalyptic Love by Slash. Check it out.
Cool. We got 4.5 minutes in, so let me get the plugs in because someone let me forget the plugs last week, and I had to hear about it today. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows at AngryMarks.com. You can also check us out at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrere, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Ed in San Antonio or Edward Laredo.
And you follow me on Twitter. It's at properjam, P-R-O-P-E-R-J-A-M on Twitter. I don't tweet as much as Ed, but hey, that's me. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, not everyone can be entertaining as I am on Twitter.
Oh, sure.
I got a Twitter account. I don't remember my handle, so no point in talking about it.
Didn't you do a
my
show
this
channel?
Week? Do what?
Didn't you do a show this week?
No.
Me?
Last week? Yeah, you.
No,
sure.
Last week, me and Sinbad did a Pro Wrestling Flashback where we talked about the Dangerous Alliance from, like, 91 and 92. And we didn't do a show this week because it's Christmas. We're going to do something next week. And, yeah. And you can find those shows at blogtalkradio.com/Couture, same as this
sure.
show. I also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Couture, C-U-T-R-E-R. I just put up some links. It got a bunch of those old Coliseum Home videos in their entirety on there, like those are really early ones, like the the biggest, smallest, strangest, strongest, and most embarrassing moments. The Ken Patera story is on there. What else? The Tag Team Champions. They got the history of the Intercontinental title belt. They got the Hulkamania series. Got Best of Roddy Piper. Best of WWF Volume 1 and 2. And a bunch of other stuff.
Very cool.
Cool.
I'm just providing links. I don't upload this stuff, so if it don't work, don't yell at me.
I know. I went to your page one time. It was something I really wanted to watch, and then they had already adapted.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of those Boxer Manias lately. I love watching that shit. You ever watch those?
Watch what?
Boxer Mania.
Oh, Boxer Mania. Actually, I've seen a couple, but I've never...
There's like 250 of them out there on YouTube. I love watching that stuff.
Yeah, I've seen them before. They're pretty funny, but they get kind of redundant after a while, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I prefer the short version. I watch, it takes me 5 minutes every week. I watch Are You Serious on WWE YouTube channel. That's an awesome show, by the way.
No, yeah,
That show never topped the Ricky Steamboat Jay Youngblood training video. That was the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life.
That was pretty stupid.
What was he doing with his feet, dude? I still
don't
know.
Yeah, he's her shoes or something, he said. He hates her shoes. And I love the Puppet H. He has his own Twitter, too.
Oh, he does? I gotta look him up.
There's a Twitter handle.
Twiddler?
There's a Twitter handle right now. It's things that Ricky Morton would say. Everybody go find that. That is tremendous. I can't even find it right now, but yeah, go find that. It's good stuff.
What about what about the other Ricky Morton Twitter? The alimony Ricky Morton won't pay.
Zing! All right.
He owes me money anyway for that bullshit pay-per-view I had to watch last year.
Dude, I watched that.
Did you?
Really? Oh, that's last week. Or 2 weeks
ago. I watched it. I don't know why I watched it, but it was on Netflix, and I said, all right, Katrina said something about this, I'm going to watch it, and sure enough, I watched it. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. That was
that finish in the main event?
Oh my gosh. Not only that, but, man, some of the guys, they try it out there to work. I mean, the very first match was Funk and Dreamer, and the ref went to the finish too early. Totally screwed up. And I was talking to Meltzer a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, they have like 15 more minutes planned. And then
probably could be, end up being one of Terry Funk's very last matches, and the ref fucks it up.
Yeah, and so far, it has been his last match. They trotted out C.W. Anderson and Terry Funk, or excuse me,
Perry Saturn.
Perry Saturn, thank you. Perry has probably put on at least 40 pounds. And the announcers kept going, Perry's in such great shape. And I was like, you mean round? it was.
I think
Booking
himself open hard way on the rail outside or something.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He did a tope and killed himself. Yeah, there was a bunch of BS on that show.
That was the most boring Pit Finley match I've ever seen in my life on that show.
Yeah, that was no good either. And really, that was the highlight of the show.
Well, I like the midget match. The midget match is pretty damn awesome. It was just
okay. I'll give you that. But that was right up there with the Legends of Wrestling pay per view with Sheik. Heroes of Wrestling, right?
Yeah,
it was right up there with that. I mean, we're talking 1 and 2. That was worst ever. Yeah, you were right.
You
that
got
was,
to see your boy Ronnie Garvin in the main event.
Oh, Ronnie Garvin. Don't get me started.
They build up that's the first time I've ever seen a mystery partner tag team match, and then they put mystery partners out. That's
right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And near the end of the match, he just stopped fighting, and Nash says, why don't you like me? And Morton says, I don't know, why don't you like me? He said, I don't know, I thought you were an asshole. I thought the same thing about you. And then, I don't know, the match is over, and then he spurs him and gives him a powerbomb, and that's it.
Yeah.
That may be the worst pay-per-view main event of all time.
They brought in Diamond Dallas Page and Robert Gibson to leave. They were in the match, and then they weren't.
What's even worse is I was all excited because I thought I was going to get to see I thought I was going to get to see George South, and he didn't even come out.
They were supposed to have a Mulkey's and Midnight Express match they had advertised for. That's when we were about the fucking thing.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, so if you like the review that we just gave, Netflix right now, go check it out. AWF, is that what it was?
AWE.
AWE.
Awful Wrestling Entertainment pay-per-view. You need to tell Brian and Vinny they need to review that shit. That would probably be funny.
Yeah, I should do that.
Since they're on the big kick of reviewing Netflix stuff.
Yeah.
They need to review Spaceship Yamamoto. That's what they need to review. But do we have any plans for next week?
Working on it. I'm trying to get our guest back for next week.
Okay. You got any final thoughts? You got any final thoughts for word? Craig?
Everybody have a safe and happy 4th of July. I trust the holidays are treating you all well, and stick around with us for 2013 and see what happens.
Okay, Katrina, you got any last words?
No, Happy New Year. Don't nobody go drinking and driving.
There you go.
Okay, and to our fan who's trying to win Craig's prize for retweeting all our posts on Twitter, to the Sandman, I just have one thing to say to you, and that is Big Daddy still sucks. He always sucks, and he always will suck. So just get used to him never being in the Hall of Fame.
Really, anybody from England not named William Regal sucks. So let's just shorten that list right there.
William Regal or Adrian Street.
Sandman, send me what shirt size you are, and I'll see what I can do. And your address.
As a child, I saw Adrian Street, and I was frightened.
Yes. Agreed.
I didn't know what the hell that was.
I'd be frightened if you weren't frightened.
End up with the mask in that Grunt the Wrestling movie. I like that movie.
And by the way, who thought it would be a good idea to ask Lance Storm or Granny, me and Lance versus Vinny and Brent, Brian gets electrocuted?
I don't know who that is. One of the nerdy gang members. Horrible question.
I don't have a way to contact Granny since she defriended me and blocked me on Facebook, apparently. I was going there a while for, I think one of those Brian and Vinny shows said something about it. It posted something up there on a wall, so I was going to look for it. Lo and behold, she's no longer on my friend list. I mean, then when I looked her up, she's so bad as Gibson, and it wouldn't come up on the search engine. So I think I've been blocked.
That's so sad.
I'm just really getting ready to join the gang. I was going to go, stomp some kid or something to get my initiation.
Right.
Jump
somebody in the gang.
That's actually funny.
Tremendous.
But, I guess we will see everybody next year.
Yeah.
And,
no Christmas music. It's after Christmas. No Christmas music. It's after Christmas. Use our awesome
theme.
I
will play whatever I want here. Especially because it makes Stevie do work and he has to edit it out of the Angry Mark thing. Oh, that's not the right one.
Yeah. Got any white snake?
What did I fucking do? Oh.
So professional.
So this is Christmas.
Gosh.
And what have you done?